Everlasting truth. Now I'm going to talk about the judgment of the whore of Babylon, and her children. Now the whore of Babylon is the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope is not the Antichrist. Nor is he the false prophet. I never believed he was the Antichrist. But when I grew up, every preacher I know knew, and even when I went to the seminary down here, there was this general idea that the Pope was the false prophet. So when I came up here with my very limited experience, I went along with it. And when I first came up here, I taught that I believed that the Pope was the false prophet. And I made a pretty good case, but I was always uneasy with it. And after about 25 years here, I suddenly realized, no, that's not the case. It can't be. And so I just told the church back then, I said, I was wrong. But I have never believed that there's the slightest possibility that I could be wrong about the Roman Catholic hierarchy and the many whore daughters that have come out of her. They are actually the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. If you want to see something that's beautiful in pomp and ceremony, go to a Catholic church at Christmas. And you'll see what is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scenario. You will see decorations. You will see ceremonies. And it will just make you feel good from the top of your head down to the feet of your soles. And the paraphernalia and the costumes they wear are breathtaking. But if you ever go to Israel, not Israel, but to Italy, and you go to the Vatican there, particularly on Christmas or Easter, and you are able to watch some of the ceremonies that are carried out by the priests and the bishops and the archbishops and the Pope himself, I can see where many people would have a lot of faith that these personages, these people, these men, and the Roman Catholic sisters themselves, I think that you could see something that would really, if you didn't know any better, and you'd been raised as a Catholic, or you'd been one of those that aren't Catholic, but you love to watch the ceremonies on Christmas and Easter, I think that you would, they are impressed. And for the things that the Bible teaches about this thing that they do, you have to understand that the Lord said that it is no wonder that the angels, the false angels, Satan's angels, it is no surprise that Satan's ministers are turned into great, beautiful shades of light, and they appear to be very righteous. Well, I guarantee you, when John wrote this, he called it a mystery, because that isn't the way, there wasn't a Catholic church in existence in that day with all these beautiful paraphernalia, all these beautiful statues, all this decoration, all this great show of wealth, gold and silver, precious stones and diamonds. That didn't exist. So when John wrote this, I tell you why he called it a mystery. It was a mystery because the Jewish people to whom he wrote it, and others, the Gentiles, the new churches, they would have no idea what he was talking about. And that's why he had to call it a mystery. It was a mystery because it hadn't arrived on the scene yet. When Paul wrote about the rapture, he laid it out But then John, when he wrote, he kept calling it a mystery, but then he told you it would be revealed. And John revealed it, and John described it, and John filled in all the small details. So this mother that was to come along, I've never seen a better description of what the Catholic Church is today than what John wrote in these chapters. Now, there are a lot of saved people in the Catholic Church, and I love the people in the Catholic Church. I don't say that I love the Pope or that I love the paraphernalia and gathering of the different offices and hierarchy that's been put together. I certainly don't hate it, but I do understand it, and I do try to warn people about it. So I'm going to do that as I go through this. The judgment of the whore and her children. Now, I'm talking about the hierarchy in the church. I'm talking about the way that they are taught to worship. I'm not talking about individuals in the church. You've got some saved people in there that just love the Pope to death. And they think that all those ceremonies and everything prove that they must be from God. They're not going to get much of a reward in heaven. But for me to say, they're not going to heaven, I can't do that. Because I'll show you some things in here that make me realize that that's true. Now in Revelation 17 and 1, and I've took scriptures out so I could just stick to the main subject. Revelation 17, 1 through 2, then verses 5 through 6, then verses 15 through 18. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, one of the angels that poured out one of the vials of wrath, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. Now, during the wrath of God, the Catholic Church and Jews are going to be under great punishment. And just like in the past, God has used evil people to punish his people for unbelief. Now, here's what he says. Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Now, when John wrote that, he wanted the people to understand that it set on many waters. They didn't know much about the Atlantic Ocean. They certainly didn't know about America when John wrote it, or the whole Western Hemisphere. They didn't know anything about that. You say, well, what waters did they know about? They knew all about the Red Sea. They knew all about the Mediterranean. They even knew about the Atlantic that went down on the other west side of Africa and on the west side of France and went up to England. They even knew about that. They knew that Europe existed, and that's the only waters they knew. They knew the Mediterranean. They knew the Black Sea. They knew the Indian Ocean, but they didn't know how far down it went. They knew the Gulf of Aqaba. They knew the Persian Gulf, and they didn't know much about China. They knew a little, but not much. But that was called the Old World. And when John wrote this, he wrote it to the Old World. And I'm one of those preachers that believes God meant for us to understand that most of the book of Revelation pertains to the Old World, the majority. But some of it refers to the world that we know now. Now, the Catholic Church had not yet arisen when John wrote the book of Revelation. It arose afterwards. And so she became, the Catholic Church at first was not a mother of harlots, nor was she a whore herself, and nor did she have the abominations of the earth in her. But because she had leaven in her, and because she began to change the doctrines that God had given to the first New Testament churches, she became an apostate woman, a wife that had become like a whore to her own husband, who was Jesus. And that's the reason that this is so bad. But God is going to punish them for it. And if you'll notice, he indicates that the ones who are leading the Catholic Church, the bishops, the popes, the monsignors, all those and the archbishops and the Pope himself, he indicates those are the one in trouble. He indicates that it would be better that a stone would be put around their neck and they be thrown in the depth of the sea than to mislead one of his children. The Catholic Church had a lot of misguided children. So no, I don't think they're all going to hell. Not at all. But because of these false leaders, they're not going to get much of a reward. Yet they're responsible by God's Spirit to come out of it. And if I don't preach that, if I don't teach that, then I'm not much of a preacher. I'm not much of a servant to God. So I'm going to do that tonight. He says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is not talking about physical adultery. This is not talking about all the physical adultery, fornication that's going on in the world today. This is talking about spiritual adultery. God is the head of the church. He is the foundation of the church. Jesus is the head of the church, the foundation of the church, because he is God. And because he is God, he has every right to tell us how he wants to be worshiped. And he left the instructions, and he gave them to them. And Jesus was a simple Galilean who had all the intelligence in the world, but he worshiped simply. And the men that followed him, they worshiped him. And they didn't even know he was God. They thought he was the Messiah. But after they found out he was God, when he ascended, then they worshiped him freely as God. He said, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Go across the United States, go across Canada, go across South America, go across Europe. Now, get this. Go across Africa, North Africa, South Africa. Go across Iran, Turkey, Iraq, even in Iraq and Iran. Go across these places. They are loaded with Catholic churches. They are loaded with different varieties of whore daughters that broke off the Catholic Church, and they all believe you can lose your salvation. They don't even have the first thing right after salvation. You say, well, they're going to hell. No, they're not. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. This was a future thing they didn't understand, but they knew about Babylon. They'd spent 70 years in captivity. They knew they worshipped idols there. They knew that they had thrown Daniel in a fiery furnace with the three Hebrews. They knew all about all that. They knew about the statue of Daniel. They knew that. And so this seems like, well, who is this? He says, the last great church structure that's going to be giving you the most trouble will be the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and that's the Roman Catholic Church. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. If you ever are in a bookstore and you have enough money, pick up Fox's Book of Martyrs and read it. And Leonard has taught the Trail of Blood. I've taught the Trail of Blood here twice. Leonard's taught it once. And Leonard laid it out beautifully as to how the Catholic Church killed millions of martyrs who believed the same thing we did, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This word that's translated admiration, you'll find it other places, and it's also translated admiration. What it's talking about is, you walk up and there is a great statue, and it goes up hundreds of feet. It's got a gold head. It's got silver breastplate. And you look at it, and it scares the fire out of you. But you have great admonition for the size of it and the artistic ability that went into doing it. It's not admiration like, you know, like I think Donna's very pretty. And I don't know how Ken ever got her. But but, you know, and I admire every one of you, if you don't know the truth. I admire every one of you. You're here tonight, and I really do admire you. But that's not the kind of admiration it's talking here. It's talking about being shell-shocked and scared to death of what you've just seen. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore setteth. Now that's the Mediterranean Sea primarily, but it also includes the Straits of Dardanelles. It also includes the Aegean Sea. It also includes the Black Sea. It also includes the Red Sea. It also includes the Gulf of Aqaba. It also includes the Persian Gulf. It also includes the Mediterranean, the Atlantic, just along the western coastline of England, France, and on down past Spain and down the western coast of Africa. So those were the only waters they knew. He wrote to them, and he didn't tell them about all this other stuff over here. You say, why didn't he? He didn't know it. You say, well, why didn't God tell him? God wasn't ready to tell him. So I just take what the book says, and I just tell you what it means and try to relate it so that we can understand that our work here is not forgotten by God. If you just give somebody a cold drink of water, God remembers it. But we have, this nation has stood up for God. Not that he needed us to defend him, but this nation has stood up and done mission work all over the world. And the remnants are here. He is still bringing a remnant through here. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad on us here as it is on the old world over there. We're going to get earthquakes. If you had to pick a place where most of the world's sin existed, I would pick the western coast of California. Wouldn't you? I would pick the mountain volcanic chains through there. Wouldn't you? I would pick the southern coastline down at Baton Rouge and on down at New Orleans where they have the Mardi Gras. You're going to get tsunami waves coming there. You think they're at sea level for a reason? You're going to get earthquakes out in that gulf, and you're going to have New Orleans submerged under 50 feet of water. And God seems to punish the people where they are that are the most vicious in their association of not worshiping God. He says, and the waters which thou sawest are people and multitudes and nations and tongues, different languages. That's glossema. Doesn't mean angel tongues. It just means different languages. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. When I was over there and spent time there, one of the things that was very noticeable is they hate the Catholic Church. Arabs do. They hate the Catholic Church. All the Arabs do. All the Persians do. Nobody likes the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church has been allowed to mull in there, and they actually bribe the Arabs, do different things, and they've converted some. But when this tribulation period starts, they're going to kill the Catholics all over Europe, and they're going to kill the Jews all over Europe, and they're going to kill them all over Israel, all across North Africa. And the reason that I'm doing this tonight, for the last 8 months, I've kept up every day with the number of people that are being killed over there and how the world is turning against Israel. It's unbelievable. Europe's turning against Israel. The Arabs are flooding in there, and they've got almost as many Arabs as they have native Europeans. And they're persecuting the Jews. And furthermore, they're persecuting those churches that aren't apostate. Our missionaries over there are persecuted. The people that are Maronite Catholics and Orthodox Catholic and Roman Catholic, they hate our churches over there. They don't like, Catholics don't like Israel anyway. And I haven't forgotten that. It's going to be a massive persecution of both Christians and Jews when all this starts over there. I don't think that the persecution of us here in this country will come anywhere close to what that's going to happen over there. I don't think they're going to round us up and put us in prison camps and kill us, but I do think they're going to start actually taking away some of the advantages that you have by being a church member and putting your money in the church, and they'll let you take it off your income tax. I don't expect that to last until the rapture. I expect that's going to be changed. But that's all right. Ken's got all that in the backyard, and I've talked to Ken about it, and he's perfectly willing to share it. we already labeled a cult. Those are cult cans out there. They'll tell you to dig up your cult cans. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, which city is that? John wrote this about 95 to 100 A.D. There was only one city that reigned over all the known world. There was only one city that reigned over all the known world. And that was the city of Rome. And I've flown over the city of Rome, and there's a volcano, an ancient crater, just sitting outside the city gates. It's built up there. You can, if you fly over it, you can spot it. It hadn't gone off in over 150 years, but during the tribulation period, it's going to go off. Rome's going to burn. We've got great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I don't know if you ever go to Italy and you can afford it, and you go down, well, if you go down to Rome, you can go, sometimes they'll have, you can take a tour through it, and you can kind of see how much wealth they have laid up, but you haven't seen anything to what they really have. They've got more wealth in there in the form of gold, silver, diamonds, precious stones than you could ever possibly imagine. Now, how do I know that there are people in that church that are saved? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Look at that. My people. God has some children in Roman Catholic churches, and they won't come out of them because their mother was a Catholic, their father was a Catholic, their grandfather was a Catholic, their grandmother was a Catholic as far back as they can go, and even though they learn the truth themselves, they stay with their own mother and their own father. I never had a problem with that. My mother was a Methodist. Lord knows what my father was. He was supposed to be a Baptist. Maybe he was. But in any case, I'm what God led me to be. And that's, I'm not just a Baptist because I think that John the Baptist was a Baptist. John the Baptist was an immerser, a dipper. And to remember to pray for the church down at Marlton as much as you possibly can. We've been in deep prayer for the church at Marlton.
They're in good shape. They all just rededicated their lives.
Well, after seeing you, they figured, Lord, we really are the chief of sinners here. Let me give you this. What time services start? Hey, that's great. We'd start earlier, but some people couldn't get here on time because we went through all this when we started at 6:30. Says, my people, be not partakers of her sins. Come out of her. There are people in there that are saved. But because of the heredity of their fathers for centuries being Catholics, even though the gospel reaches their heart and they repent of their sins and trust Jesus, they stay right there in the Catholic Church. And that she receive not of her plagues. Well, I tell you, the Catholic Church is going to receive some real plagues. And the word plagues here is usually associated with wrath. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. If you ever get a chance, get a short version of their teachings. If you go too deep, you'll say, good Lord, and you'll be amazed. But if you just take a very simple list of what they believe, you'll discover there's no way under heaven that that could be classified as one of God's churches anymore. Amen. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. And here's the attitude of the Roman Catholic Church. Until recently, they were very public about the fact that they thought anyone who wasn't a Catholic was bound to go to hell. But they have mellowed on that subject because they are trying to lure more people back out of what is called the Protestant world, back into their nest. Now, we are not Protestants. We are not Protestants. We are, if you're going to give us a name, we are Anabaptist. And we teach the Anabaptist teachings. And in North Africa, the Anabaptists were true to the Lord. And anybody that came to them from the church that was the Catholic Church in Rome, they rebaptized them because they didn't believe the church at Rome was God's church anymore. So we don't do that. We don't rebaptize people because we think we're superior. That's ridiculous. We know we're all sinners. We rebaptize them because we want to be sure that their baptism is scriptural, and we know that we teach what Jesus taught the first New Testament church. We haven't changed. But the Catholic Church saith in her heart, this is her problem, an internal problem. I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. When this thing starts, we're going to be here up until the seventh trumpet. And you're going to see this happen to the Roman Catholic Church, I guarantee you. And I've been keeping up for the last 8 weeks with all the persecutions that they're already putting on the Catholic Church, and now they're really starting to put it on the Christians also. And once the Antichrist has driven Israel into the Negev, you're going to see mass murders, butcher of both Christians and Jews that aren't down there in the Negev. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her, and saith, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is likened to this great city? Now, if you go over into the 17th chapter and you look at verses 15 and you realize what these 10 horns are going to do in verse 16. This is what's going to happen. The 10 horns, the Arab nations, that saw the beast and shall hate the whore, make her desolate naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. This has to be the city of Rome. And John made it a mystery because the Catholic Church hadn't yet been formed. That's why Paul made the rapture a mystery. It wasn't clear exactly in the Old Testament, so he showed them, he laid it out. But then John kept it a mystery, but he said, this is the mystery, this is what's going to happen, and he gave the details. So there's no question that in my mind that he called it a mystery because the people of his day had no idea how this particular thing could be in their day and time, and it had to be future, and it is future, and quite frankly, it's about to happen. He says, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled, and the city which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that great city has to be Rome, because that reigned over the known world at that time. And I'm going to let y'all go early because my throat's sore. But this is something that we all need to be aware of. You need to be real nice to Catholics. You need to be friendly with them. You need to treat them like people that need the truth. And you need to tell them what you believe in a nice, gentle way. But whatever you do, stay faithful in churches that teach and preach the truth, and thank God that you're in one, because they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer.